Okay, we're getting a new sugya. So the Gemara is picking up upon some of the things that we spoke about in the past in terms of just trying to identify properly the arba avos nezikin. So the Mishnah mentioned four primary categories of mazik. Three out of the four were pretty self-explanatory. One of them was a little bit more ambiguous. That was mav'eh. So we had a machlokes amora, what exactly mav'eh means. It's not really a machlokes halach in the sense that everybody agrees that if a person damages, he's chayev, and everybody agrees if an animal eats, it's chayev. It's just a question of what was the Mishnah referring to. So one opinion is, Rav Amar Mavazeh Adam, and Shmuel Amar Mavazeh Hashen. So the Gemara asks a question on the first of the Mar Mekamus, and Mar Mekamus of Dalam and Aleph, Maskev Lor of Mari, Eima Mavazeh Hamayim. Maybe I come with another one. Maybe Mava refers to causing damage to water. And just in case you're wondering why in the world did the Mishnah use the word mave to describe water, kidichsiv, kidkach eishem asim mayim tiv eish. The Gemara Pasuk at the end of Navi Yeshayahu, that uses the phrase mave, boe, ne mave, that root of the same word, in the context of water. And therefore, it would be just as logical to say that the word mave in the Mishnah refers to Hezekiah de mayim. So in the end of the day, the Gemara rejects it on very, very technical grounds. The Gemara says that grammatically, the word tiveh, maveh, nivu, I'm not holding enough in the nuances of the grammar. The bottom line is the Gemara says it's not true. The Gemara says that if all the dust settles, so maveh probably does not refer to mayim. But, as we've seen before, if the Gemara presented it as a havamina, Rav Mari thought that this was a potentially, even not necessarily concluding shot in the Mishnah, but at least a potential shot in the Mishnah. So it behooves us to ask ourselves a question. Well, what would that mean? Just give me a case. What would that mean to damage somebody based on water? So Tosus is not quite sure what exactly the case is. So let's skip down for a moment to the fourth of the Mar Mekamos. So Tosus asks, in our sugya of Imtoima, Hani Maim Hechidomi. Just give me a case, says Tosus. Eid the Mashkel Le Bitka Demaya. So Tosus is guessing that what the Gemara must be referring to, Tosus already has the wheels turning, they're already referencing a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Ayin Zayin, which we'll see in a moment. If what the Gemara is referring to is that there's water that's flowing, but right now the water's not doing anything because the water is being blocked by a dam, and I go ahead and I remove the dam and thereby cause the water to now overflow and to damage your property, so that would be a potential case of Hezekiah de Mayim. Again, at the end of the day, we hold that that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. But in the world of Rav Mari's Havamina, that could have been possibly what Rav Mari was referring to, that there's water flowing, and the water right now is safe, not causing any problems. And I go ahead and I pull off the dam, and now the water comes gushing, and torrents of water come and destroy all your stuff. So maybe that's what the Mishnah would have been referring to. So Tosus challenges that assumption, says, if that's the case, so then I want to really, really fine-tune what the case was. The person removed the dam, and he removed it in such a way that is what's called koach rishon. I don't want to translate that exactly yet because that's going to be the major part of the next mar makom in terms of the Gemara Sanhedrin itself. But just for our purposes, we'll just translate it very, very simply to mean that it's a direct cause. That means I'm removing the water in such a way that the halacha declares that it's a direct result of my force. It's koach rishon. So comes tells us it says if it's koach rishon, if that's what happened, if that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to, kochohu. So then that is not an independent category of mazik. That is an adam mazik. What is the difference whether I mazik your property by, if I take a hammer and I smash your window, so that's an adam mazik, mamash begufo. What's the difference whether I take a ball and I throw it through your window? That's an adam mazik ayde kocho. What's the difference whether I cause water to come and destroy your property? That's also called ayde kocho. If it meets the criteria of koach rishon, again, which we're talking in vague terms, we're not sure what that term means even, but if it meets that criteria of koach rishon, so then that's the same as throwing a ball, which is halakhically the same as smashing with a hammer. So he asks Tosus, why in the world would the Mishnah have listed this as a separate, independent category of mazik? Hashor, v'abor, v'amavah, v'hever. If mave just means just an extension of a person, so then that's just regular adam mazik. So then that's plain and simple adam mazik. Why is it mentioned as a separate category? And if you're going to tell me that tells us the ibekoch sheni, and if you're going to tell me that it's dealing with koch sheni, that the water somehow is damaging in a way that's far removed from my original force. Again, we're also talking in very, very vague terms right now. We don't know what in the world that means. We wouldn't know koch rishon, koch sheni if we saw it in front of us. At least not yet. Hopefully by the end of the sugya we will. But if the damage of the water came about through an indirect manner, so then I'm not chayev. That's what's called grama. Grama is any time I cause damage in such an indirect way, so grama b'nezikin is potter. The Gemara says that in Bava Basra, the second parak, that grama b'nezikin is osur. You're not allowed to do it. It's also it's prohibited to be gorem mazik to somebody, but in the Beis and Shomata, you're not going to be held responsible for that. So comes Tosfos and says, if the water is derech koach rishon, then it's not a new category of mazik, it's just played in simple autumn mazik. If it's nezek ayadei koach sheni, so then it's grama b'yam and you're totally potter. So we're still searching for what did Rav Mari mean. Rav Mari threw out the possibility of hezek ayadei mayim being a separate category. There's no case. So says Tosfos, v'yesh lomar, demayim b'koach sheni. No, the Rav Mari thought that we're dealing with koach sheni, the kamash belonged to koach sheni namichayev. The chiddush of hezek ayadei mayim would have been that notwithstanding the fact that it's koach sheni, and therefore presumably it should not be, I should not be obligated to pay for it, it should have met the standards of Gram B'Alma. Kamash Balon, Mayim is a separate entity. Mayim is a new mazik, and Mayim breaks all rules. Mayim tells me, if you mazik somebody through Mayim, then you chayev, even though it's a koach sheni. That's what Rav Mari would have thought. Kamash Balon, it's not true, because at the end of the day, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. There is no pasuk to support this. There's no source in Tarim to support this. And therefore, the way the sugya ends according to Tosas, it was a very, very fleeting havmi. And for about a second, we thought that Hezek Aydei Mayim Aydei Koach Sheni is going to be Chayav. Kamash Balon, that the whole thing is not true. So, when all the dust settles according to the dust, what would the din be now, post the world of Amori? Post the world of the Maskana, that Mayim is not a separate entity? So the answer is very simple. The person would come to Shaila, Rabbi, that guy was just mazik me through Mayim. So the answer should be, well, it depends. Was it Koach Rishon? Was it Koach Sheni? If it was Koach Rishon, then it's Chayav, like an Adam Mazik. If it's Koach Sheni, then it's a Grama. So Rav Mori thought that the rules changed. Rav Mori had a Havamina that Grama Ide Mayim is Chayav. But at the end, once the Gemara rejects Rav Mori's Okimta, that Mavit does not even refer to Mayim, then you fall back on what the original rules were. And the original rules were, it's like any other kind of halacha. It all depends on, is it Koach? Is it Grama? Koach Rishon is Kocho, Koach Sheni is Grama. And that's what the answer would be, halacha. Now, of course, Now that we gave the structure of the sugya according to Tosfos, we have a lot of pieces of the puzzle to fill in, because we're not sure what exactly Koach Rishon is, and we're not sure what Koach Sheni is. But one thing we know for sure, if we can identify it as Koach Rishon, for sure you're going to be Chayef, whatever Koach Rishon means. If we can identify it as Koach Sheni, for sure you're going to be Potter. That much we're pretty satisfied with. Why are we so satisfied? Why are we so convinced that that's true? Because of the Gemara that Tosfos was referencing in Sanhedrin. Now the truth is that Tosfos just made a very, very quick reference. They said, Kitabrina ben Nisrafin. So that's a whole parak. So which Gemara was Tosfos referring to? They didn't even have the ability to give us the dafim. You know, we're spoiled because we live in a world post the printer. So the printer stuck in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. In the days of Balei Tosfos, there was no Ayin Zayin Amud Beis because there was no standard printing. Whoever you wrote it on, whatever scroll you wrote it on, that's what it looked like. So Tosfos could name the parak for you. So if you're reading a Tosfos in the 1200s, so Tosfos can be said in business and Nisrafin, either you knew the whole parak by heart, or you had to start scrounging around and rolling the scroll back and forth to try to find what in the world. What line is doesn't even tell you the line? What are they referring to? So for us, life is so easy. Now we have Tosfos already tells us, and the printer already tells us, so we know exactly where to look at. So we open up the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, and we realize that it's not so easy even for us. We're not even so sure that Tosfos' reference was correct in the following sense. The Gemara that Tosfos is referring to is not even talking about Mazik. It's not talking about Nezikin altogether. It happens to be talking about Ritzicha. It happens to be talking about killing somebody. Tosfos made a big, big jump, and Tosfos says, well, whatever the rules for Ritzicha are, those are the identical rules for Mazik. So let's first take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, see what the Gemara says, and see why Tosfos was so convinced that it carries over to our sugya, and see that not as convincing as we thought it was. So let's take a look now, because most of what we're going to talk about now revolves around this pivotal statement of Chazal, and the second one of the Marmakomus, Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin on the base. Omer Papa, Hayman de Kafte Lechavre. If a person ties his friend down, and the word friend here has obviously been used in a very very neutral kind of a way, as they say, we said friends, who needs enemies. So a person ties his friend down, the Ashkel Ale Bitka Demaya, and he wants to kill his friend, but he doesn't want to kill him. He doesn't have the guts to kill him, to stab him, to kill him with his hands. So he wants to kill him almost in a little bit of a roundabout way. So he ties him up right next to the river. Now the river per se is not a dangerous place to be. To be under the river is a bad place, but to be next to the side of the banks of the river is not such a bad place to be. Part of the river is not going anywhere. But if the river, the course of the river will immediately come and overflow, it's going to drown the person. So that would be a way to kill somebody. So this is what the fellow does. So Reuven takes Shimon, ties him up, and puts him by the riverbank. And now the Ashkel Alei Bitka Debaya. And he goes ahead and he now causes the water to overflow. How does he do that? By removing the dam. So he, in effect, used the water as a murder weapon. So now the shail is that chayiv misa or not? Now, going to Olam Haba, the guy's not going. Mafti Yain, hopefully he's not going to get. The guy's not a tzaddik. The Rambam writes, and it was Ritzach, that if somebody kills somebody, even through the most grub, through the most indirect way, he's called a Ritzach. He's called a Ritzach, and even Shemayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Edrash Bimo. Kadosh Baruch Hu will hold him responsible. But we're talking about this world. We're talking about Beis and Shemata. Can Beis and Shemata put the person to death? So in this week's Pasha, we learn about the din of Maka Ishva Meis Mos Yumas. The Torah says that if you mamish hit somebody, it means you kill somebody, be a dayim. If you do an action to kill somebody, then and only then you chayav misa. If you some circumventing way you cause a person's death, one is not chayav misa in Beis and Shemata. So the question is this called direct or is this called indirect? So the Gemara says that it depends. So giri didehu mechayev. So the Gemara starts off by saying that if you cause the river to overflow, so then that river, the water of the river is like your arrow. Giri means an arrow. So it's no different than your arrow. What's the difference whether you shoot somebody with an arrow? What's the difference whether you stab somebody? What's the difference whether you use water? If the water is the murder weapon, so that is a, I don't mean acceptable in that sense, but it's an acceptable murder weapon in order for it to be chayev misa sebeis din. I remember when we learned the sugi in yeshiva, so we were talking, we kept on using the phrase, what's the murder weapon? Name me the word, murder weapon. So it reminded me when I was a kid of the game Clue. So I didn't know whether the game was still in vogue, but apparently it's still, it has gone through some Gulgula, but I think they still play it. So I just remember that Morty can probably help me with this. No, there was the... There was the knife, there was the wrench, there were these bizarre kinds of the candle, there's some very, very strange ways of killing people in the game of a sheer game. So the different ways of using the different murder weapons. So one of the potential murder weapons is the water. So comes Rav Puffin and says that if you use the water as your murder weapon, that's giri didei, that's like shooting an arrow, you'll be chayav. But Rav Puffin puts the brakes on and he says, Hani mi li b'kerach rishon. When is this true? That's only if it's done through kerach rishon. But if it's done through Koach Sheni, then all bets are off. If it's done through Koach Sheni, that's called Grama, and Grama is the rules of Grama are different. So Ad Kan Devar Gemara. So Tosa saw in this Gemara, you see that vis-a-vis Ritzicha, the Gemara is differentiating between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. So Hu Adin, so too, vis-a-vis Mazik. A mazik is only chayv if your mazik be a diamond. If it's a mazik pash also, Torah speaks about other mazik. So if your mazik be a diamond, if your mazik directly, so then you chayv. What's called directly? If I take a baseball bat and smash your window, that's called directly. If I shoot an arrow through your window, that's also called directly. Throw a ball through it, that's also called directly. If I cause water to damage your property, is that called directly or not? Well, it depends, as tells us. If it's derech karach rishon, so then just as you chayv misa, you chayv a mazik. If it's karach sheni, then you would be potter. Again, Rav Mori had a potential havamina that mayim is different, but lemaisa that havamina disappears. So we go back to the regular rules. Hezek ayadei mayim is like any other hezek, and therefore karach rishon chayv karach sheni is potter. We still have not yet defined karach rishon and karach sheni, but when still not 100% sure that Tosfos' jump is correct, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin is not talking about mazik. The Gemara is Sanhedrin, it's not Bavakama. Bavakama deals with mazik, Sanhedrin deals with Ritzicha. Tosfos made a jump. Tosfos says, well, the rules are the same. If it constitutes a ma'is of Ritzicha, then it constitutes a ma'is of Hezek. If it doesn't constitute a ma'is of Ritzicha, then it doesn't constitute a ma'is of Hezek. So that basic assumption of Tosfos, before we even flesh out the details, what's Kach Sheni, is not 100% agreed upon by everybody. Said one could differentiate, one could argue that maybe the rules are different, maybe the standards are different, maybe it's, in a sense, easier to make somebody pay for Nezek than it is to bring somebody to be Chayav Mises Beis Din. Who said that the definition, who said that the standards are identical? So the Chiddushi Haran in Masechah Sanhedrin actually throws a monkey wrench into the sugya. The Chiddushi Haran says, I don't know what the rules are the same, says the Chiddushi Haran. He says, just because something doesn't qualify as an act of Misa, Tichai Misa, who says it doesn't qualify as Mazik? Maybe even Derek Sheini is considered to be Mazik. Proof of the fact that we know that there are some differences, nuances of differences, between Mazik and Ritzicha, lying the fact that the Gemara does speak about Grubba ben Azikin Potter. That's the Gemara by Vabasa. The Gemara says that explicitly, Grubba ben Azikin Potter. But nevertheless, the Gemara does speak about another principle that's very, very close to Grubba. It even has three of the same letters in its name as Grubba. It's called Garmi. The Gemara says that that you potter for Mazik, that's if it's Derech Grubba. But if it's Derech Garmi, Dinah de Garmi is Chayav. Now, just in case you thought that we're going to define exactly how do you know whether something is Grum or something is Gami, so I don't know, six sheets of Rishonim, a lot of different opinions in Rishonim. How do you know, where is the line of demarcation? So it has something to do with Garmi is a little bit more direct, and again, I'm being very, very vague today. Grumma is very, very indirect, and Garmi is being a little bit more direct. So the Gemara draws a distinction between the two in the end of Bava Kamma. How do you know what the rule is? So this is a problem. We have this problem very often, many sugyas. The Gemara gives illustrations. The Gemara gives examples. So the Gemara gives you a few examples of Grumma, that's butter, and a few examples of Garmi, that's Chayev, and the Gemara left it to our imagination to figure out, well, what's the rule? How in the world would I know to extrapolate to a new case? So apparently Chazal thought it was so obvious what the rule is, the Rishonim were less sure what the rule is. So Taisus has a Pshat in the Rosh, a Pshat in the Rabbi Evi, and all the Rishonim try to figure out, how do you know whether you're in Grubba or Garmi? But that whole distinction between Grubba and Garmi only exists in Nezikin. We don't find anywhere such a distinction in Hilchos Rotzeach. So one could argue that maybe the rules are different. How do you know? How do you know that just because something is potter for Ritzicha, maybe it's still chayav for Mazik? So we already have precedent to say that the rules are not identical. So how did Tosfos know that somehow the rules do carry over? But again, notwithstanding the Ran's question against Tosfos, Lamaisa Tosfos said it. So we're going to go with Tosfos for now. We're going to follow the Tosfos in Bava Kamma Daf Dalet and ask, so yeah, that the rules of Mazik are identical for these purposes to the rules of Rotzeach. And therefore, if you want to know whether you damage somebody by pulling out the dam, whether you're chayiv or not, you just have to learn the Sugya Sanhedrin. So, which leaves us to learn the Sugya Sanhedrin. So now we've been talking about it for the last 20 minutes, then we have to get into the nitty gritty. But what is the case in Sanhedrin? What is Karach Risha? What exactly is Karach Sheni? So Garmi does exist in Shabbos, but Shabbos also we have a rule called Grum ben Azik and Potter. Right, maybe Mazik is different. Right. It's not clear how this plays out in other areas of Allah.
If you tie so with that, isn't that Koch Rishon? You're tying.
Oh, very good. You're asking an excellent question. You're asking that. Aren't you chayv just for the tying itself? Forget the water. You're chayv for the tying itself. Very good. You're mechavet to tell us this kasha. So there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says hametzamtzem is chayv. Metzamtzem means is, let's say Reuven takes Shimon and he takes the mamash into the water. He brings him to a pool and he holds him down. He presses on him, holds down, prevents him from being able to get up. So the Gemara raises the question, is that called a rotzech biyadayim? Should I say that? Well, I didn't kill the person. The water killed the person. So the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. The Gemara says, that's called mitzamta. If I'm holding him in a place where the water is killing him, so then the water is the murder weapon. Well, the Gemara says, let's say I take a person, I throw him into the fire, and I stand and I'm blocking his exit from the fire. So the Gemara says, I'm chayav, because I'm using the fire as a knife, I'm using the fire as a bullet, I'm using the fire as a weight, as a murder weapon to kill him. So mitzamtim is chayav. So Tosfos asks the kasha, why isn't the person chayav? For the fellow ties his friend down, why isn't he chayav? Forget about Koch Risha, forget the whole story, forget about the dam. I should be chayav because I'm putting him in a place where the water is, Lamais is killing him, I'm tying him down. So Tosfos says, no, that din of mitzamtim only applies if the water is already there. At the time that I bring the person there, the water is there. So then you could argue that water is considered to be like my hand. What's the difference whether I'm holding a knife in my hand, I'm holding a gun in my hand, or I'm holding the water in my hand, if the water is there? But if I bring the person there, I tie him down, I walk away, and now the water comes, that's not mitzamtim, that's already too indirect. So again, if the water comes through my pulling of the dam, and it's a Koch Rishon, whatever Koch Rishon means, which again, we still haven't defined, so then we can label my pulling of the dam as a Maisa Adam. But But barring that, just the label, the bringing of the person as a ma'aseh adam, Tosfos says that's not true, because the bringing of the person is not really called derech metzamtzem. That wouldn't qualify as derech metzamtzem. So back to that story. So comes Tosfos, comes the Rishonim in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin and try to pinpoint exactly what do the words mean. What does Koach Rishon and what does Koach Sheni mean? So if we take a look at Rashi, so we'll take a look at the second of the Ma'amar Kamas. So each one of those three lines is the Rashi. So Rashi is the Kafte. Koshiyad v'ragol asasiyam. So the person ties up his friend by the edge of the ocean, the river. That's making a difference. V'ashkalei bitke demaya. Hifnas merutzas habayim alav. And he goes ahead and he causes the water now to come and attack the person. So giri didehu. So that was the phrase that the Gemara used to describe that it is the arrow of the supposed rotzeach. So now Rashi begins to define. Giri didehu. Hein hein chitzav. The water is the arrow that is identical to shooting an arrow. And that's just like the person who shoots an arrow is obviously chayev. As the Gemara is about to explain in the details, now finally Rashi explains. So far Rashi has just been giving you this word for word in the Gemara. He just translated Aramaic into Hebrew. Now Rashi explains to you what the key is. Rashi says, miyad. Everything happens immediately. How does that happen immediately? Kagon, for example, shehinicho samuch l'svasayam v'safa madron, that he leaves the person right by the edge of the water, and the water is on the land is on a slant. The water comes, mom is shooting right down. So Rashi said the whole thing. Rashi said miyad. If you want to know what koach rishon means, it means immediate. How do you make sure that something happens immediate? Well, there's very, very little distance between the two points, and obviously that's going to be quote-unquote immediate. And what would, Rashi continues, b'koch rishon, kishapin lehem derech letzad zem miyad nafu olav davikoch. Rashi again emphasizes the word miyad. And now in the next Divrei Maaskil, avav b'koch sheni, if koch rishon was synonymous with miyad, so what is koch sheni synonymous with? Obviously the opposite. Shein nicho rochok tzas. So you place the person a few feet away. Again, we still don't know, it would be very hard to us to know what that measurement is, but it's racha k'tas, v'lo naflu ha'mayim miyad, b'tzei sami gidrosein alav. When the water left the area that was being dammed up, it was being blocked before, when the water goes over the dam now, so it doesn't happen right away. Eli achami kan ho'chu ala makam shusham. If it happens, a little bit of delayed reaction, so gramu v'lo mikoicho. So that's considered to be a grama. And that's called Derech Rama. Derech Rama is not going to be Chayev. So finally, if the five Rashis, at least we have a picture that's emerging, that it has all to do with distance/time, because distance is going to result in a delay of time. So according to Rashi, if it happens Biyad Yechayev, if it happens later, it's going to be positive. Again, we don't know what the measuring, we don't have a barometer yet to measure what Miyad means, but at least we have a working shot. Now, borrowing Tosus's extrapolation to Nezikin, even though, again, the Gemara and Rashi are talking about Ritzeach, but we're ignoring the Chedesh Aran right now. We're assuming that the rules are the same for Mazik as the offer of Ritzeach. So therefore, the answer to our question is, Hezekai Deimai, what would the din be? So the answer is, it depends. If it's done Koch Risha, which means immediate, Chayev. If it's done Koch Sheni, not immediate, then going to be Potter. Rav Mori would have theoretically changed that. If his Havamina would have been correct, but it's not correct. And therefore, we fall back to the regular rules. Miyad, Koch Risha, Chayev. Liachazman, a little bit of Liachazman, Koch Sheni, and you're going to be a Potter. Of course, this is all assuming that we define properly what precisely Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni are all about. So we did define it properly according to Rashi, but Rashi is not the only say in this sugya. So there is a long piece in the Yad Ramah on the 6th of Akham. I'm not going to read the entire Yad Ramah. The Ramah was a Rav Meir HaLevi. So the Ramah is a whole discussion as to what precisely Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni are, and comes out with a different understanding than Rashi, that time and distance are not the only criteria involved to define what's called Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. Again, the Ramah is talking, obviously, in Rotzeach, but we're following Tosfos's footsteps that Rotzeach, what's true by Rotzeach carries over to Mazik. So it behooves us to understand what the Ramah's understanding of the sugya is all about. So the Ramah's understanding begins with the sugya in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, the 5th of the Ramah Kamos.
By the way, Rashi would also hold by Eish, or only by things like Mayim and other things.
Well, Eish is the Chiddush HaTorah. Eish, the Torah says, "This Shalem Shalem Amavras Amavras." Even though there's a delayed reaction, we pass the Eish as Bishop Chitzav. So Eish, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is is like shooting an arrow. Same way, if I shoot an arrow from here and the arrow lands, 5 feet away, that's still chayev. If I shoot a missile here and the missile lands 6,000 miles away, so then I'm also chayev.
So we're only talking about things that normally would kill someone that it creates mechanism.
I create, right, because in a sense I pull away. I'm not actively doing it. In the case of the arrow, I'm shooting the arrow. In the case of the fire, I'm lighting the fire. Over here, I'm not touching the water. I'm removing something that's now leading the water to go. So that's what the Gemara differentiates in Koch Risha Koch Sheni. So comes the Yad Ramah and makes reference to a Gemara on Daf on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis and the fifth of the Ramakamas. So V'yam HaRava. There's a whole sugya in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Zayin about all these crazy wild ways to kill somebody. The Gemara's not trying to give you any ideas how to do it. The Gemara's giving you a lot of lumdas as to if you do it in this manner, so that's called Ratzeach B'Yadayim. If you do it in this manner, you call it Ratzeach Ayde Grama. So V'yam HaRava. Zorak Chetz, a person shoots an arrow. So shooting an arrow, that sounds like an Adam HaRatzeach Mamish. Not so simple. Utris B'Yado. But I shoot the arrow at Reuven, but Reuven's holding a shield, so the arrow is not going to kill him. So my shooting of the arrow, you can't make me chayev for the shooting of the arrow, because what I did at the time that I shot the arrow, even though in the end of the day maybe the shield will fall to the floor, but at the end of the day when I shot the arrow, the person was protected. So I'm not a ratzech b'yadai. So zorach chetz utris b'yado ba'achev enatlo. And what happens? Somebody else goes ahead and grabs the shield away. So I shoot the arrow. The arrow's on the way. It's a 10-second in flight, and somebody else tackles the guy, grabs the shield away, and the arrow kills him. So who exactly is chayev for that? So comes the Gemara and says, well, I can't be chayev for that. Said at the time that I shot the arrow, so the person was protected. The person who removed the shield, he didn't do anything. I mean, he did something, but he didn't do anything b'yadayim. He simply removed the barrier that enabled the arrow to penetrate the person. So comes the Gemara and says, v'afilu hu kadam v'natlo. Catch this one. I have to be very fast for this one. I have to be able to run faster than the arrow. So I shoot the arrow, and then I zoom over there, and I yank away the shield before the arrow comes. So Gemara says, Potter. I'm still Potter. He's saying, straight to Gan Eden, he's not going. But in terms of being Chayim, he says, Beis Din, you cannot hold the shoot of the arrow to be a Ratzeach B'Yadayim. Why? Because the Be'idna Deshadjebe Mefsek Peske Gire. Give me a moment of time that I'm Chayim. What was my Maaseh Ratzicha? At the moment that I shot the arrow, the arrow wasn't fit, wasn't worthy to kill, because there was a shield on the person. The moment that I removed the shield, so removing the shield, there's nothing. That's just a derech rama biyama. I didn't do anything to the person. I blocked something that's blocking him from getting killed. So I'm free on both points. So I'm potter for the moment of the shooting arrow, because he was protected at that time. I'm potter for the moment of removing the shield, because I was just derech rama biyama. So at the end of the day, I'm potter. So I turn around to Beis and I laugh and I say, I'm potter for this, potter for that, potter for potter. He goes, potter. So the mice and Beis and Shemat, I'm going to be potter. So there's a big problem with this Gemara. What do you mean you're potter? Why isn't the removing of the shield analogous to removing of the dam? If the Gemara said in Sanhedrin 9:10, the same daf, the same exact daf, that that removing the dam can sometimes constitute an act of Ratzicha, why doesn't the removing of the shield itself constitute an act of Ratzicha? So that's the multi-million-dollar question the Yad Ramah is going to try to address off the mitzvah tomorrow. So if we understand the answer to that question, then we'll have a better understanding as to what the Gemara is talking about in terms of the rules of Koch Risha Koch Sheni. So again, we're talking Mazik. The Gemara and Rishon are talking Ratzicha, but we're going to be Kvasatos, that the two sugars are the same.